Always a pleasure to hear you, Doma T. Thank you so much. We are going to talk television right now. Kurt Wagner is taking a week off, and in his place, we're going to talk to the managing editor of TV Guide. This is Alexander Zalbin. Alexander, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on.
There's a couple things.
All right. First of all, I hate to start out a segment whining, and this is going to sound like I'm whining.
No.
I love Stranger Things, okay? The first season, and the second season was released. I'm up to episode 7, was telling my husband, I need to catch up. We've got to watch this. And I was reading a little something, and I just got a big fat spoiler right in my face. I'm so
what
bummed.
Happened? What happened? There's some big reveal that you weren't aware of that now you're aware of.
Well, I can't. You haven't even started watching season two.
Not yet.
But the ratings are through the roof. Alexander, people were waiting for. Was it last Friday or last? It was Halloween, wasn't it?
Yeah, it came out right before Halloween. Now, the thing that's tricky about Netflix ratings is they don't actually release ratings. So multiple companies have figured out a way of trying to maybe guess how many people have been watching their shows. Nielsen came out, I believe it was yesterday, with a study that they had done guesstimating how many people watched Stranger Things, and they believe, I think it's 15.8 million people watched the first episode, and it trailed off a little bit from there as the episodes went on. I'm sure people like you are still catching up on it, but that's huge. I mean, that would make it one of the biggest shows on television, and I believe the biggest show on cable, if it was on cable, so we thought part of the reason that Netflix was hiding it was that their ratings were lower than you expected. Turns out they're bigger. There you go.
You know what I use as a barometer, Alexander? The show had only been on for a season, and I can't tell you how many kids came dressed as characters from Stranger Things for Halloween at my house. So that means someone's watching it and enjoying it.
Yeah, I saw a young Joyce wandering around on Halloween, saw a bunch of Elevens. The show is huge, and it's everywhere, and it's going to go on for another 2 seasons, so it's not stopping anytime soon.
All right, well, here's my question to you also. Again, don't mean to sound like I'm whining. I'm a Twin Peaks fan as well, and when Twin Peaks was released, the whole season dropped at once, just like Stranger Things. Why can't they do it week by week, which gives you a little more time before spoilers are revealed?
You know, I think this is kind of a new way of the world. Netflix has changed the game pretty immensely with binging. There's a lot of people that have tried doing it both ways. Freeform does this with a lot of their shows, where they'll drop all of the episodes and then also broadcast them week to week. The TBS did that with Search Party for the first season as well, though they're doing it differently with the second season. You know, I think it's ultimately we're in a, not to get too haughty or anything, but we're in a sped up society where people need answers and they need them now. I mean, if you take a look at Marvel movies, the Thor movie comes out today, and I saw spoiler articles about it 2 weeks ago. Like, here's the surprising cameo you can't believe in Thor. So it comes from movies, it's trickled down to TV, and it's kind of how things are. So spoilers are coming.
A generation ago, people would have done this with I Dream of Jeannie? Would they have just, like, as soon as they dropped all
what
the episodes?
What spoilers do you get in there?
You know, Major Nelson does some crazy stuff. You don't know.
Well, I do think that's part of the difference. When you look at shows back then, they weren't structured the same way. They weren't structured.
You could watch them out of sequence. Right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
So here it's much more plot-driven. It's much more serialized. I mean, you look at a show, and maybe this is jumping ahead what we're talking about, but you look at a show like Star Trek on now, it used to be week to week they would just have different adventures, and the new Star Trek is heavily serialized. You know, they're still episodic, but at the same time, they have this big overarching story where you have to watch all of the episodes to understand what's happening. So that's part and parcel of the binge product, and for better or for worse, if you really want to avoid those spoilers, you got to watch all 13 episodes in the first 13 hours that
they're up. I don't know if you're a fan of The Blacklist, but last year on The Blacklist, a major character we were led to believe was no longer with us. We find out later that that may not be the case. And I kept thinking, if they had released all these at once, people would have already been on the internet saying, hey, don't worry, that character's coming back. So sometimes it works that they do it one at a time. Sometimes it works that they do them in bulk.
Yeah, I think I'm still a big fan of week to week, as long as you can structure that way. This is going back a ways, but one of my favorite viewing experiences of all time was Lost, and I loved it for watching the episodes, but also just the week between the episode would be
to digest it.
My colleagues would just exactly come up with theories and talk about things. So that's certainly missing in the binging experience, but it has its plus sides as well.
And I certainly enjoy a good binge. That's how I watch things. But with new shows, you expect to have a little breathing room.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Things have gone the other way, and to be honest, I don't know if they've quite worked as well. Hulu is a binging platform, but they'll release shows week to week, and it always feels a little strange when they're doing that. You know, you get to the end of an episode on Hulu, and you think, wait, I can't watch the next one. What's happening?
The world is broken.
Exactly. But, you know, they're, like I said, as long as they're playing with the structure the right way, as long as they're not doing an episodic show and then letting you binge it, versus a serialized show, it can work both ways.
Explain this to us if you can, Alexander. We just saw the ratings. Wendy and I were looking at the ratings yesterday for The Walking Dead. They're two episodes into the new season, and the ratings have not been very good. They're still not terrible, but they're not as good as they were a couple years ago. What do you think is going on there?
Well, I think there's a couple of things that are contributing to that. I mean, first of all, it's still one of the biggest shows on TV, not just cable TV, but TV, period.
Yeah.
They've dropped dramatically, but all of TV has, frankly, not to do my TV guide business, but all of TV has dropped dramatically in the ratings. You know, people, there's more on, things are more fractured, so there's less must-see, have-to-watch-it-right-now in this broadcast because you can watch so many different ways. So that's one thing you could point to. I think certain people, even fans, would point to quality of the show has changed. You know, you could argue whether it's worse or it's better, but certainly the focus has changed from a survival drama to they're mostly in one place, you know, and they're fighting humans now instead of zombies.
Mm-hmm.
And they've introduced all these very over-the-top cartoonish characters like Ezekiel, who talks like a king and has
yeah.
a tiger, or Negan, who carries his club and curses up a storm. So it's a very different show than it was in season one. But I think the thing that most people would probably point to is the season 7 premiere.
Yes,
where,
absolutely.
They killed Glenn and Abraham. There was so much hype and so much buildup on that, and it was so bloody and so violent. I think a lot of people either looked at that as a point to jump off or spent the rest of the season, which, to their credit, they did very purposely try to make it an exploration of sadness, you know, an exploration
and desperation.
Of what happens afterwards. Yeah, of desperation. And I think by the end of that season was over, people were so exhausted, they thought, well, I don't need to watch that again. I'm good.
That's where my husband jumped off. The first episode, the season premiere of season 7, at the finale of season 6, just hearing the sounds was horrific enough. We didn't need to view it. And it was disturbing, but I hung in there. And now so far, I'm liking the new season. Bill?
Yeah, I agree. It's a little bit of a shame that people have jumped off, because this is, if you read the comics, this is the best storyline in the comic. It's all-out war. It's huge groups fighting, epic action sequences. So it's a lot of fun. It's, like I said, a very different show than it was in season 1, but it's enjoyable in a different way. So my hope is that fans will come back or find it by, you know, binging it like we were just talking about.
Makes sense. Alexander Zelbin is here. He's the managing editor of TV Guide.
I just have one more Walking Dead before we take a break and continue talking. There is not enough Michonne for me, because she is badass and she is sitting back and not doing anything. So I hope her character blossoms once again.
Yeah, I think something that they do with these seasons, pretty much since Scott Gimple, who's the showrunner on the show, has taken over, is they tend to focus in different places. You know, they're not quite doing one character per episode, but Michonne has been on the bench a little bit, but I feel pretty confident she's going to come off that bench pretty soon.
Sweet.
You know who I want to see more of? Ralph Malph. I love Ralph Malph.
And another thing, you know, I'm a big fan of Chris Hardwick and the Talking Dead as well. And I'm noticing that a lot of other shows are doing these little recap and like This Is Us actually has a very minuscule one. And I like that because people want to talk about the episode when it ends.
Yeah, it's there's a lot of discussion about how much we need after shows. And certainly I think Chris Hardwick is an expert at it. He's really good, and that's also Talking Dead is one of the biggest shows on television, which is kind of insane. But this is my very particular TV journalist perspective, but I love watching The Walking Dead, and then while I'm writing my thing about Walking Dead, having Talking Dead playing in the background so I can kind of, you know, check in and get
like Christmas music,
like
isn't
that.
It?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's
exactly
comfortable.
Like Christmas music.
It is. Alexander Zelbin, managing editor of TV Guide, is on the line with us. If you have any questions or comments, we're at 312-981-7200. We'll pick this up in a minute. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. It's Bill Leff and it's Wendy Snyder. Our guest is Alexander Zelbin. He is the managing editor of TV Guide. Alexander, last night my family and I were watching Life in Pieces, enjoying it very much, and they show a promo for Stephen Colbert's show. The upcoming show has Whoopi Goldberg on, and then tomorrow night, they said, Jeremy Piven. And my family and I looked at each other and we went, that's bizarre. I wonder if that'll play out. And then a few hours later, CBS announces that Jeremy Piven will not be a guest on Colbert. Mm-hmm. Too distracting. What's going to happen there?
But previously recorded, correct?
Well,
it was recorded on Monday.
I don't know that it was recorded on Monday. Like, they show a clip from him from a previous appearance on the show. I don't know if they had already.
I thought they taped it, and then when the news came out Monday about these allegations,
maybe
we should ask Alexander.
What do you think, Alexander? Yeah, what's going on there?
That's correct. Yeah, it was the appearance was taped on Monday. There, like a lot of folks in Hollywood, there were some allegations against Piven. He's denied the allegations. I'm sure we'll find out one way or another more about this continues. But at the current time, his interview is no longer going to be on the Colbert show. That's kind of the long and short of it.
So with his show, he has a new show that's on CBS. Will they continue to run that, or is it too controversial to run right now? What do you think?
I mean, that's a good question. There's these situations have been dealt with in a lot of different ways right now, and I don't really have any inside info or anything like that. But as you mentioned, I mean, it's a CBS show. Colbert is a CBS show. So certainly they're aware of the situation, and I believe there's I'm just actually looking at a quote from one of our stories. We are aware of the media reports and looking into the matter. That's according to the network. Something like House of Cards at this point, is that show is dead because of the allegations against Kevin Spacey.
And was there one more season that was supposed to happen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they were, I believe, filming another season of House of Cards. Initially, they said they were going to look into it and put things on hold, and that would be the final season. And now they're just not going ahead with it. They may look into a spinoff, which would include some of the same characters, which honestly would be a nice thing to do, because something that folks don't often think about when they get into these situations is there's hundreds of people working on the crew. So because of the terrible actions, the absolutely reprehensible actions of one person, a lot of people end up without a job. So hopefully they do go forward, even if it is with one season, with a spinoff of that. As for Wisdom of the Crowd, I think we're going to have to stay tuned and see.
So for all the House of Cards fans that have watched it over the years, that storyline will just kind of fade away, right? Is Frank Underwood, is that his name? That'll just go unanswered. It'll just be done.
Yeah, I mean, unless they decide that financially there's going to be some reason to do an abbreviated season, certainly with something like Sense8, which wasn't a huge hit for Netflix, but due to fan outcry, they decided to go ahead with a two-part movie finale that's going to be out at some point in the future. Maybe they'll do something similar with House of Cards just to kind of wrap things up really neatly, because that is Netflix's pattern to make one announcement and then backpedal a little bit.
Yeah.
But as it is, I think you got to view the season 5 finale as the series finale of House of Cards.
Now, Jeremy Piven did you mention a series he was on? Is that stopped right now, too?
They're determining.
Yeah, they're determining. There's no news on that specifically at the current time. Certainly, you can head to TV Guide if anything does pop up. But as of right now, it's continuing, and we don't have any other news about that.
Does Hollywood expect, I mean, the last couple of weeks, nearly every day, a new name comes out of somebody who's either a producer, a director, a writer, an actor. Is Hollywood in sort of a panic mode right now?
I'd say so. And frankly, this is probably overspeaking a little bit, but I think rightly so. You know, these are allegations that aren't necessarily new allegations, but it's a floodgate that's been building up for the entirety of Hollywood, frankly.
Yeah.
And it's finally all coming out, and people are actually discussing it and taking action. I think we're in the first stage of those reactions, where people are making immediate gut reactions. We'll see how that pans out in the coming weeks and months as people start to have more specific discussions about policies and how to deal with these things and how to take forward-thinking action about these things. But yeah, right now, if you're somebody that got away with it for a couple of decades, you should be scared.
Yeah, yep.
I think, you know, it took people a while to remove Bill Cosby stuff from TV, and now it's like they don't even wait for a verdict. It's just if there's anything that people are talking about just until further notice, gone.
I mean, there's that. I think also, frankly, with a lot of these cases, without speaking to anyone in particular, a lot of them have been open secrets for a very long time. People have talked about them. They've rumored about them. They even felt like they knew about them. So we do obviously are in a society where you need to go to trial and you need to have some sort of you're innocent until proven guilty. But these are things like the Weinstein thing that people knew about for decades. So once they happen, I think people were ready to take action. They just wanted somebody to say something. They didn't want to be the first person to say something.
Alexander, we only have a minute, but this story is very curious to me. They're shutting down Westworld temporarily. Mm-hmm. Because one of the actors had some sort of a medical emergency, but we don't know who the actor is, and we don't know what the medical emergency is.
I mean, you pretty much summed it up, frankly. Westworld's a pretty mysterious show, and they released very mysterious information about this. We believe it's a minor actor on the show, you know, that it's not one of the major cast members, but at the same time, they had an injury offset that definitely has impacted filming in some way. They haven't released the name of the actor. They've temporarily held down production. Right now, Westworld Season 2 is supposed to premiere in 2018. As far as we know, it still will. But it's kind of up to HBO and their respect for the actor to decide whether they're going to release more info on that.
They've gone out of their way to use the phrase, a performer in a reoccurring role, as not to scare us and think, uh-oh, it's Anthony Hopkins, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, no spoilers, but it's probably not Anthony Hopkins.
I don't think it is Anthony Hopkins. Nope.
Yeah, he didn't meet the best fate at the end
of the season. No, he did not.
Yeah, but it definitely seems like it's for anybody who watched the first season, there's all these loops and these things that happen over and over. So even somebody in a very small role can show up in multiple scenes throughout the season, depending on where they travel. So clearly, for a show that is tightly filmed and that specifically created, to have anybody at any level disappear can heavily affect the production.
It was such a pleasure to meet you. Alexander Zalbin, managing editor of TV Guide. You can go to tvguide.com or follow him on Twitter, A-Zalbin, A-Z-A-L-B-E-N. We only have a minute here, but can you tell us about how you got slapped in the face by John Cleese at one point in your life?
Sure. He was a visiting professor when I was at Cornell, and he came in, he gave my sketch comedy group some tips on a sketch that we were doing. We were taking a picture afterwards, and he said something to us. I think it was like, okay, face forward, or, you know, everybody look at the camera. And I made some snarky comment back, and he laughed and gave me a little love tap on the face, but he is the most enormous man in the world, so it basically was like smack right across the face.
And so far, he's the only member of the Pythons to slap you? Nobody else has so far?
Not yet, but I'm working on it.
Okay, good. Good luck.
I think I'll get there.
We hope they all get you. Alexander, thanks so much. Have a great weekend.
You too. Thanks so much for having me on.
Thank you. Alexander Zalbin of the TV Guide. We'll find out what Steve has next on the Wintrust Business Lunch. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Whew, and we're back.
That was a long break. What'd you do during the break?
I zhuzhed my hair.
Did you? I renewed my driver's license.
Good for you.